Good afternoon. My name is Shija. I'm from the University of Florida. And today, primarily, I want to talk about different agricultural land uses in the southeastern United States, talk about some of the carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus cycling enzymes, and later on, focus on one of the systems that's what we've been researching for the last 14 years, which is the sod-based rotation. So the main objective why we started out doing this different ag land use systems was with the intention of studying potential of nitrogen leaching in a karst topography. That's why we went ahead and we did deep cores up to 6 meters. We used a geoprobe system. This is the first time we're going that deep, but the main intention of this huge project was to emphasize on nutrient leaching potential into groundwater system. The entire region primarily is a karst landscape. Some of the measurements that we did in this project was soil organic matter, total nitrogen, organic carbon, light fraction organic matter, all the inorganic nitrogen species, nitrates, ammonium, all the Malic 3 analyses, etc. And in relation to this project, we have a poster by Dr. Makoviak. It will be today from 4 to 6 in the, I think it's in the Soil and Water Management, I'm not sure which division it is, but that is where the rest of the results from this project is. But like most soil biochemists and microbiologists do, I stole the top 6 inches and worked on that, and that is what we're going to be talking about. These are the different land uses that we looked at. We looked at a native land use system, which is like undisturbed vegetation for more than 40 years. Then we looked at a Haight-Bermuda system, which has been in this system for over 2 years. A Haight-Bahia grass system, again, it's been for a long time. And these are conservative estimates of the duration that these systems have been in those crops. Then we had a Haight perennial peanut for over 12 years. And then we had a sod-based row crop rotation system, and I'm going to talk more about what that means, but it's essentially 2 years of perennial grass followed by peanuts and cotton as we have researched it. But typically a sod-based rotation would be anything which has a perennial grass incorporated into your typical rotation. That has been in place for 20 years now, a grazed Bahia pasture for over 10 years. And the counterpart to the grazed sod-based rotation was the non-grazed one, and then a conventional row crop rotation. Typically what is practiced in the southeast is a peanut-cotton rotation. That's what we mean by a conventional row crop rotation. I have some pH values for the different land use systems, the total inorganic N in the different land use systems, and of course, the native system is the zero input system, and so you see very low nitrogen and phosphorus. I looked at the nutrient cycling enzymes in the top 0 to 6 inches in the different land use systems, and as we all know in this room, that enzyme activities are real good response indicators of soil biochemical functions, and they represent not only short-term response to management, but also long-term responses to management, because some of these enzymes are enzyme activities are protected by soil aggregates and such. So they give you a snapshot of the response to management in these different systems. Enzyme activities were determined on dry soil by the method of Tabatabai et al., and the enzymes that we looked at were in all these land use systems, primarily looked at the acid phosphatase, beta-glucosidase, beta-glucosaminidase, and in the sod-based system, which I'll show you later, we looked at aryl sulfatase also. Looking at the acid phosphatase, and I just grouped them into different systems based on land use. We have the native system and then the Haight systems, which is Bermuda, Bahia, and perennial peanut. Then we have the grazed systems, a non-grazed row crop rotation system, and then a conventional system. And the reason I grouped it together was to kind of differentiate between these two systems and how the grazed system comes out on top in terms of acid phosphatase activity. And even within a regular row crop rotation, a sod-based rotation, even if it is not grazed, how it comes out on top, significantly greater acid phosphatase activity as compared to a conventional peanut cotton row crop rotation. Similarly, in the beta-glucosidase, which is a carbon cycling enzyme, pretty much a similar trend where the grazed systems came out on top as compared to the hayed and the native systems. Let me make a comment, but these hayed systems are commercial operations. They're actual farms where the bahia or the perennial peanut is being hayed for forage. Again, the typical conventional rotation had very significantly lower activity than the non-grazed system. Beta-glucosaminidase, similar trend. In all these three enzyme systems, the grazed system came out on top, which is why now I would like to focus my talk on the grazed systems, essentially, that we have been focusing on for the last 14 to 15 years. The sod-based rotation consists of 2 years of bahia grass, which is Pespalum nodatum, for those who are not familiar with bahia grass, and that is followed by peanut and cotton. And as you can see, each phase of the rotation, each quadrant, is present in every year of the rotation. In every year that we do it, all the four phases are present. The little blue boxes indicate the cages where the cattle are kept out of the cages. They're not allowed. That represents our non-grazed area, and the area outside the cages are grazed area. And the circle indicates the irrigation pivot that we have, and then the four corners outside the pivot are our dry corners so that we could have a non-irrigated treatment thrown into there. So this essentially is our system. We are comparing a sod-based row crop rotation with grazing incorporated into it. So this is just a picture of the actual cages and how the cattle are kept outside the cages so that we can compare grazed and non-grazed treatments. So like I said, what we are doing is 2 years of bahia grass followed by peanut and cotton, but typically, like I put in parentheses, it could be any perennial grass followed by any row crop. We have even done perennial grass followed by a vegetable in an organic transition system. And this has winter grazing. We put oats and rye, or sometimes a mixture of oats and rye, as a winter cover crop. So there's winter grazing going on. The cattle are grazing the oat or rye cover crop mixture, and in the summer, they're grazing the bahia. The cattle are taken off just while the bahia is being established. Otherwise, they're grazing the bahia all the time. So in these, then I put in all the irrigated and the non-irrigated systems also, and I looked at alkaline phosphatase, acid phosphatase, aryl sulfatase, beta-glucosidase, and beta-glucosaminidase. And the trends indicated that the grazed systems, the irrigated systems overall had greater enzyme activity, first of all, irrespective of whether they were grazed or non-grazed. But within the irrigated systems, the grazed systems did show greater enzyme activity of all the enzymes that were included in this study. And a good way to correlate enzyme activity was with organic matter, because essentially that is the substrate for... Okay, so enzyme activity, the primary drivers of these enzymes, or the primary source of these enzymes, are microorganisms. And microorganisms need a substrate to act upon. And the organic matter is that substrate. And it correlated very well with our enzyme activities, with, again, grazed systems. We went down all the way to almost a meter deep, and we looked at organic matter in the grazed systems were greater than the non-grazed systems, and especially in the irrigated treatments. So that correlated well with our enzyme activities. And of course, the measurable goal of all these is our crop yield, and that pretty much kind of validated all the soil results that we were getting, all our soil indicators that we were getting. We had a 6-year, just the last 6 years, a great peanut yield, where the grazed peanut yields were greater in the irrigated systems for sure. In the cotton, it was the non-irrigated system was kind of topping the non-irrigated grazed was topping the non-grazed, non-irrigated. But really, the takeaway message is there is a thought that grazing may affect yield either due to soil compaction or what have you. But we were not able to see that. They were comparable or at times even better than the non-grazed systems as far as peanut and cotton in the system were concerned. So in general, just in praise of grazed systems or integrated crop livestock systems, grazed systems had greater CN and P cycling activities as compared to hay systems or other non-grazed systems. And in general, a perennial grass-based crop rotation system had greater enzyme activities than conventional crop rotations that are typically practiced in the area. Overall benefits of grazing, we all know it's a resource diversification. Not many people practice it just because of the economic difficulties in combining the two, row cropping as well as you're either one or the other. But in an ideal world, if you combined both of these, there would be excellent resource diversification. As we saw, there is no adverse effect on yield, but in some cases it may be better, as we saw from our 6-year average peanut and cotton yield. We saw enhanced soil health, higher organic matter, greater nutrient cycling potential because of the greater enzyme activities. Some of the other benefits that we have seen in our previous research, and I thought would be good to summarize here, is our grazed systems had greater root mass. When we did our rhizotron studies, we put our rhizotrons up to a meter deep, and we took pictures, analyzed the rhizotron pictures, and we saw that there was greater root mass, root length, root surface area, in the grazed systems, greater microbial biomass carbon, greater fungal to bacterial ratio, and that in turn could explain greater enzyme activity, greater total organic carbon, higher soil nitrate, extractable phosphorus and potassium in the top 30 centimeters of the soil just because of the animals being in there and efficient nutrient cycling through their rumen. And incorporating grazing into a perennial grass-based crop rotation just further enhance soil properties and crop productivity. So like I mentioned earlier, the ideal fit would be if row crops and grazing could be put in together. A bivocational farmer, if such a person, if such a breed exists. But even if that doesn't happen, we do see some, sharing resources kind of a practice. We do see to a very limited extent in the southeast, at least in North Florida where we are from, where row crop farmers or row crop land is available for grazing. And, you can still be exclusively cattle farmers or row crop farmers, not necessarily bivocational, but do some kind of a symbiotic relationship. But this, just from our research, it just shows that integrated crop livestock system would be an ideal fit, not just for crop productivity, but enhancing soil health. And with that, this is our website where we talk about our long-term sod-based rotation project, and this project was supported by the Water Management District. And thank you. Yeah, I know. No, we didn't compare different. We have typically 90 to 100 calf operation kind of a thing, and that is our intensity. We did not compare intensities, but yes, that is a good thing to look at. Yeah.